Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Braves beating the Nationals, not last night, but the night before when Scherzer pitched. Is that the biggest win of the season so far? Because if they had lost that, I mean, could that have led to maybe some kind of a little spiral here where things were going in the wrong direction?
Mm-hmm.
Especially,
yeah, funny.
Especially the way they played that afternoon game. That afternoon game was horrible.
Yeah, I think so, David. But what's funny to me about that is, you know, they were saying it on television on Sunday, and I don't think they were wrong, that Sunday's win was really big because they didn't want to split with the Mets in New York, and to win that series, take 3 out of 4 from the Mets, who are horrible, was a big deal. And I think they were right. And then that's how pennant race is. You know, we may have like 10 big games of the year before this is all over when you're in a pennant race. But, no, I think you're right. Look, they had a weird game in the first game in the day game. They had their pitcher, starting pitcher, get hit, had to come out, and then had to turn the bullpen in the third inning, which is a nightmare for a manager when you've got a day-night doubleheader. It's just awful. And then they didn't play well. They just played sloppy, and Washington took advantage of it. And, you know, I'd like to say that if Max Fried had not gotten hit and hurt and knocked out, maybe the result would have been different, but you never know. And then to say, all right, we've lost the first game. We've got to face Max Scherzer, who's one of the top three pitchers probably in the major leagues. It was a daunting task, and they came out there. Sean Newcomb stood toe-to-toe with Scherzer and did just as well. The only thing he didn't do was go a seventh inning, but for that matter, he stood toe-to-toe with Scherzer, and then the Braves got the big hit. But you know what? In a pitcher's duel, David, that's what you have to have. You have to have someone come up late in the game and have a big hit. And I joked yesterday saying that, you know, if that matchup had happened 30 years ago, both of those pitchers would have gone 8 innings no matter what, and there would have been a closer in that game that would have had to keep the opposing team from scoring. But the Braves were lucky enough to get the hit from Ender and Ciarte, and it was a huge win. And now that carried over, I think, in the last night. And now you're looking at a situation where you go from worrying if you're going to be swept on Tuesday in the doubleheader to if you win today, you're taking 3 or 4 from the Nationals. And I want to tell you something. But considering the fact that after that win on Tuesday for them in game one, David, they had won 9 of 12, if you turn around and give them a 3-game losing streak, that may be another nail that you at least place in their coffin to start swinging that hammer.
Totally agree with you. Bill Shanks joining us.
Hey, Bill. I saw a statistic somewhere the other day or yesterday that since July 11th, the Braves statistically have had the second-best bullpen in the major leagues. Is Bill Shanks now relaxed when the bullpen comes in, or is this still a very, very real concern for Braves going into the pennant race?
Logan, I hope there's one day where I can relax and the Braves bullpen comes into the game and for the rest of my life. You know, look, I think they have done better. I think you know who I think is a big reason for that, to be honest with you, not only the fact that A.J. Minter has taken over for closer, but Jesse Biddle. How about Jesse Biddle?
Yeah.
And the contribution he's made as the lefty reliever and has really taken over as someone, because you know, the problem they had with Freeman was, at the same time Sam Freeman was really struggling, A.J. Minter was taking over as the closer, and for a while there, Biddle's numbers were better against right-handed hitters than left-handed hitters. Now that's evened out a little bit, where he's just getting everybody out. And so now that's kind of pushed him up even further in the order as far as who Brian Sicker can go to, and I think that's been a big help. I think Brad Brock's been really good so far, obviously. He's done a very fine job. Johnny Vinner's, knock on wood so far, hanging with that elbow ligament, has done really well. And, yeah, they've done well for the most part. And there's still a possibility of them getting another arm. There's still a possibility of a pitcher or two coming up from the minor leagues to help out. So, they've done well, and I think A.J. Minter taking over as the closer is a big reason for that as well. They really kind of come around nicely, and it's a little bit better situation now. And Winkler's just been good all season long. I mean, he did well last night. Yeah, I think he went 2 innings last night, and for Snit to be able to turn to Winkler and even Luke Jackson. What a big pitch that was last night to Eaton. I was listening to it driving down, but I'm like, Jim Powell, you thought they won the World Series, because that was a big pitch by Luke Jackson. Mm-hmm. And you know, to come up with a pitch like that in that situation, that's the kind of thing that earlier in the season they were having trouble to get, and Luke Jackson got it done last night. So yeah, it's they're doing better.
Another, just maybe one of the best performances by Ronald Acuna Jr. last night, 452-foot blast, and also robbed a home run in center field. When you see things like that, how far away are we from looking back at young Ronald Acuna and thinking, man, he sure did look young? I think like Andrew Jones, where we look back at the first couple years and he's so skinny, just like that young athlete. But how long until Ronald Acuna really blossoms into like one of the faces of Major League Baseball?
I think he's here. I think it's happening before our eyes, to be honest with you, Logan. I was watching one of the rain delays last week. They had, you know, instead of Andy Griffith or Sanford and Son, they put those daggum Drivens by whatever on the show, and they had the Andrew Jones show on again. And I was looking at the video of him when he hit his first big league home run, and I was at the game that night at Fulton County when he hit that. And it's like you see how Andrew looked, how he moved, and how he was. And it's like we're kind of seeing that again from another 20-year-old player. And how he's just making an impact. I just saw Gabe Burns of the AJC tweeted, and I saw that before I started with you guys, about how well Acuna has done since the All-Star break, and there's no doubt he's been great. Snit put him in that leadoff spot. He's thrived there. He's got 5 home runs and I think 5 stolen bases or something like that. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's done great, and I think we're seeing it. I think that we're seeing the process kind of unfold with that happening, Logan, to where we're going to kind of wake up at the end of the year and look back at his numbers and say, holy cow, look what that kid did. And he missed a month, you know, with what happened to him in Boston. He missed a full month. But look at those numbers. I mean, they're really, really good. And I think, look, they got 50 games left, and he's going to make an impact. That's a lot of games for him to – I mean, he could hit 10 more home runs and drive in another 30 for all we know and do it from the leadoff spot, which would generate that offense a great amount.
You know, and it's now at the point where when Acuna plays, which is every day, the Braves have the best player on the field, no matter who they're going up against. And, you know, I know the Nationals have Bryce Harper. They got some other good players. But I know he's only a rookie, and he doesn't have that long length of time or anything like that. But he's the best player on the field now when the Braves play.
He's really good. Yeah. No, I agree, David. With all due respect to Freddie and Ozzy, and anybody they're playing, I mean, that kid, talent-wise, is just remarkable. I'm surprised. I'll be honest with you. I think he's hitting like 265, something like that. He's doing better than I thought he would, because I thought he would struggle a little bit. And it's almost like that month off may have calmed him down a little bit and allowed him to kind of catch his breath and then take off. And I think that's what he's doing. But from a skill set level, there's not many players better than that cat right now.
Well, you know, and I saw one of the national baseball writers had tweeted that Acuna and Albies both have an OPS over 800, which it was something to the extent of they like the only two guys that hit next to each other in any batting lineup that have that. I'm probably butchering the stat or something like that, but it kind of goes to show you what you're getting at the top of the order. And again, no disrespect to Freddie about the best player on the field, but you know, when you got Acuna doing the stuff he's doing, and you know, the big four there with Acuna and Albies, Freeman and Markakis, it's been really, really fun to watch. And you know, you see a game last night and what Acuna was able to do, and now you see why like guys like yourself for the last 2 or 3 years have just been going crazy over what he's been able to do, or what he will be able to do, I guess, is the way I was trying to say that.
Yeah, it's just it's a skill set you don't see very often from a kid that age, and to project him to know, I mean, it's like the equivalent of 5-star running back coming in and knowing that you can count on him to make a difference in the moment he steps on the field, and that's what we have with Ronald Acuna, and he's just. He's going to make impact. He's going to make an impact on games. He's going to last night's going to become the norm, not the wow, look what he did. It's going to you know how we got used to Andrew making great plays in the outfield. We're going to get used to Ronald Acuna doing something in a game that helps the Braves win on a regular basis. And you know, and I look at the Acuna Albies dynamic, that duo. I saw in spring training. I actually was talking to Brian Snicker, and we were talking about those two. And I said, you know. we've always had great pairs of players for the Atlanta Braves. And I'll start, and I know we can go back a little bit before that, but I'll start with when I started watching with Murphy and Horner, which were two great players, two great stars that we bow to every time they walk into a room, and we should. Then you go and you've got, you know, Gant and Justice. Then you had Chipper and Andrew. You know, even Freddie and Hayward before Hayward would whatever happened to him. I mean, there's
today's
always
his
been
birthday,
like
by the way.
Oh, God, I hope he can hit his batting average.
29. But, he's not even 30 yet.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? That's incredible. Most overpaid player in baseball. But anyway, you know, David, we just always had those pairs, and I think we wondered, all right, is it going to be Freddie and someone else? And again, with all due respect to Freddie, and Freddie, I don't think Freddie would holler and scream at us for leaving him out of this discussion. But when you look at two guys, one who's 21 in Ozzie and one who's 20 in Acuna, and you're saying, what's the pair for the 2020s for the Atlanta Braves? That's it. Those two are it. And I think because of their dynamic and their relationship, I mean, those guys are like brothers. I was watching them in spring training, the horsing around and the playing around and the just jockeying and wrestling and having a good time and laughing at each other. And Ozzie, I saw some video the other day of Ozzie taking Acuna's bat and flinging it on the ground and just, you know, like showing him who's boss or whatever. That kind of dynamic for a duo that's that talented, that's part of what becomes a winning team's fabric, if you will. And I think that is so important for this team to have found that as we've gone through this process of rebuilding and trying to find who was going to be the core pieces of this team, that's those two.
Bill, just like you told us back in March, you said Charlie Culberson would be one of the MVPs of this game. I'm just kidding, obviously. But today, red hot, three home runs in the last three games. Dansby Swanson only batting 100 or .166 with 13 strikeouts since the All-Star break. Do you give Culberson another start today? The lineup has not been announced yet, as far as I know. But are you expecting another day off for Dansby? And what do we do about Dansby long-term?
Well, it's funny how all of a sudden now we've gone from having the Camargo, Riley, Swanson conversation to, my gosh, should we put Culberson in that conversation? Because, you know, they've got him under control for three more years. Maybe he should be in the conversation. He's not a shortstop. He can play third. He's got limited range at shortstop. So I think long-term that's not a situation. But as far as, you know, Freddie Freeman said a couple weeks ago that Charlie Culberson was one of the MVPs for what had happened when he had to sit in for when Dansby got hurt early in the year and then Acuna got hurt and the contributions he's made, and I think we're seeing that. As far as Dansby is concerned, look, you know how we've said that these starting pitchers have to be very careful about getting out of line as far as an injury or not pitching well because someone else could take their place? Well, if Dansby doesn't see that, I mean, he's a smart kid. He went to Vanderbilt. He sees it. He knows it. He knows what's happening. He can see, uh-oh, they've got Riley at third base. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows where Austin Riley is, and he's doing well, and he could be coming up in September. And he knows what Camargo has done on the field. He knows what Culberson has done. So if that's not a wake-up call to Dansby, I don't know what is. And I'm not giving up on Dansby. I still like him. I still like the dynamic, if you will, to use that word again, of him at short and Ozzie at second. I think they're a good pair. I think Dansby's defense is what's kept him in the lineup a lot this year because of how well he's played at shortstop. But he's got to hit. You know, he's got to hit. I've often compared him to Jeff Blauser as far as the type of player I think he can be. Well, he's hitting like Rafael Belliard right now, and he can't. He's got to be better than that because there are others around him like Camargo and Culberson and, for that matter, Riley to push Camargo to shortstop that are going to push him to the bench. So it is an interesting dynamic there with Charlie Culberson being able to force Nit to put him in that lineup, and I don't think anybody should complain. The guy's done a great job. He is one of the MVPs and has helped the Braves win a lot of ball games. And you know what? I don't cringe at all when I see him in the lineup, whether he's playing left, third, second, short, whatever he's at. He's going to make a contribution and not be, oh my gosh, they got a reserve playing and starting today. No, I don't think you can say that this year about Charlie Culberson. He's made that big of an impact for him.
So it's no longer the Charlie Norton theory. Is that what you're saying? Or not Charlie Norton. Well, who is the I'm drawing a blank now. One of the guys, I think it was Charlie Norton. Anyway, no,
Greg Norton.
Greg Norton, thank you. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I remember when he would trot out there, or Corky Miller or something like that, we'd all cringe. But it's definitely nice to have a Culberson instead.
Oh, no doubt. Well, I'll tell you, Logan, I've done my show for 11 and a half years, and the one time on air I almost had a stroke was when the lineup came out one afternoon and Bobby Cox had Greg Norton hitting cleanup. I thought I was going to have to be resuscitated. But, no, I think Charlie's had a great year and beyond just another reserve.
Well, the question is, does Dansby not start another game, you know, today? I mean, it's, you know, you're going, he didn't start last night, even though he did come in and play, but do you leave Camargo at short today? And you can't really take Culberson out the way he's been hitting, and especially the way he kills the Nationals. So what does Snit do today with the lineup? And you're seeing a left-handed pitcher again, so there's no dynamic that's changed from last night.
Right, I know. And I would be shocked if we saw Dansby in the lineup. And I was looking on my phone to see if it has come out.
Yeah,
me
too.
It hasn't.
It hadn't yet.
But you know, David, here's the thing. I heard that they had not put Camargo much at short because he was still kind of not moving around as well as they wanted him to play short because of that injury from earlier in the year that kept him on the disabled list to start the season, that he was okay at third, but shortstop is a little shaky because of that, and that's why they had held off up to last night of putting him at shortstop. But look, if that Camargo Culberson, we're overusing a word today, dynamic works again, use it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right now, Culberson's not broke at all. He's contributing to where, and Snit loves that guy. He loves what a manager is going to love any player who is penciled in as a reserve. Because anytime you use somebody on your bench for regular playing time, whether it's because of an injury or ineffectiveness or whatever, you hope they don't play like a reserve, like they can play like a regular player. Well, that's what Charlie's doing. He's playing like he's a everyday player in the big leagues all of a sudden. And who knows, maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe if, let's say Snit said, you know what, maybe we ought to put Charlie out there every day for crying out loud for the rest of this year. Maybe he's giving us the best chance to win ball games, even though defensively at 30 he's not Camargo. But Camargo could definitely be just as good as Dansby at shortstop. Heck, who knows what will happen. And that's another sign for Dansby Swanson. Hey, dude, you got to pooter, get off the pot. It's time to go. That's the great thing about the competition going on right now, guys, is these players know, I think most of them know, I mean, obviously some of them are set in stone no matter what, but they know. Look at Inter Inciarte. Inter Inciarte was basically benched into a platoon situation when they got Adam Duvall. That guy's been on fire ever since he was told he was going to be in a platoon. So Inter Inciarte answered the challenge of Pooter get off the pot. Well, you know, he's doing it.
Maybe he's just not as good as we're thinking he's supposed to be. I mean,
Surrender?
No, talking about Dansby as far as like what we're talking about with, you know, just with him. I mean, I know it's still early in his career, but I don't know. I'm not ready to kill. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. And I'm sorry, too. But see that hesitation you're having right there? His play is giving us hesitation, David, to where we shouldn't have hesitation based on the buildup of how good this kid was going to be.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And that's why – and look, maybe he's not going to be as – now, I still think and wonder, all right, what's Dansby going to be in 2 years? Can he be better in 2 years? He's gotten better defensively, David, for sure, since he came up two years ago, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's I think, surprising a lot of people with how well he's doing defensively, and I think the analytics have helped him a little bit to be positioned correctly to be able to make the good plays he's made and be as solid as he's been. But you still have to look, I think, at, all right, what is he going to be in 2 years? He's 24. What can he be at 26? But see, David, here's the thing, and I'm gonna circle back around to the pitchers now. Everybody talked the other day after Colby Allard pitched on Tuesday about Colby Allard doesn't throw hard enough. Colby Allard is not ready for the big leagues. Well, Colby is 20. He turns 21 next week. He's a kid. He's a baby. Now, I wouldn't give up on Colby Allard based on two starts by any means or two appearances. But the question has to be asked, what is Colby Allard going to be in 2 years? If I'm Brian Snicker and I said, you know what, Alex, look, I think Colby's got some good stuff, but I want him to work on it. see me in spring training of 2020 about Colby Allard. In other words, send him back down to the minor leagues. Don't think about bringing him up. Leave him down there. Let him be really developing and see what he's going to do. But, David, the problem with that is if he has to go back there and develop, which is a natural thing for a 20-year-old to have to do on most occasions, he's going to be passed by so many pitchers like Tuki Toussaint, possibly even on Monday for the doubleheader, Kyle Wright, who's doing great in AAA, and others that are in AA. I mean, I'm going to go see the Mississippi Braves this weekend in Jacksonville while I'm down here, and Ian Anderson, the first-round draft pick from 2016, just got promoted there. Kyle Muller, the third pick in the 2016 draft, just got promoted to AA. If Colby Allard goes back down there and develops like he needs to maybe get better, and not necessarily gain velocity, but just to become a better pitcher, he's going to be passed to where it's going to be too late for Colby Allard in spring training of 2020. He's going to be SOL because he got passed by others. The same thing's going to go to Dansby Swanson if we have to feel like we've got to wait until he's 26 or another year before he develops offensively. It's going to be too late. That window is going to be closed, which is why he's got to do it now or he may lose his job.
Bill, before we let you go, let me ask you a question about the draft. So the first-round pick, and I'm complete was it Carter Stewart? He ends up, you know, they don't end up getting him, signing him. And part of it was because they didn't want to pay him as much as he possibly could have been slotted because of an injury, right? Is that,
yes.
All right. So I'm confused on, are teams not allowed to actually give physicals, evaluate these players before they draft them and know certain things? I mean, because everyone had kind of known Stewart was – there was that injury, but it might have been a little bit worse than they thought, but they still drafted him anyway. What is the procedure that teams go through leading up to the draft as far as some of these, especially these first-round guys where you're about to invest millions of dollars in them?
Well, it's a great question, and let me tell you what I've been told about that situation. He got hurt, Carter Stewart got hurt at the plate. I don't know whether it was bunting or hitting, but I mean, he had the bat in his hand, and something happened with his wrist. All right.
Yep.
And he said, and the family said to the Braves that he was fine, that there was no problem. Well, the Braves started seeing that his curveball wasn't as effective, and there was a problem. They tried to get an MRI done, and Major League Baseball said, "This is what I've heard now," that they were going to have to share the MRI with all 30 teams, and the family was going to have to share, the family was going to have to share the MRI with all 30 teams in order for the Braves to get the MRI results. In other words, the Braves just couldn't get it by themselves. And, of course, you know, David, they're probably a little hyper about the Braves situation because of what happened last year.
Yeah.
So when that what didn't happen, the Braves had to take whatever information they had and run with it and decide whether or not to draft the kid or not. Well, they were going on the what they were being told, which was that he was okay. After the draft, after they drafted him, they got him with the doctors, got x-rays of the wrist, and the doctor said, "You can't sign this guy. This guy's got a major wrist problem that we don't even know if we've ever seen before. It's something funky, F-U-N-K-Y, that we don't like, that is a real big red flag." Well, all of a sudden, it's like, holy crap, we just drafted this guy. We're supposed to give him $5 million or whatever the slot amount was. And the Braves then told the family, "Look, we think you got a problem. We will sign you, but it can't be that amount because that just doesn't make any sense." The family said it's not a problem. The family tried to act like there was not an issue with the wrist. The MRI was telling, the Braves trainers, the Braves doctors, they've got a wrist specialist in Atlanta, with one of their main doctors, a wrist specialist. They said, "Do not sign this kid." A couple of them said, "Don't sign him for $1. It's a wasted draft pick. Go get you another draft pick next year." And therefore, that's the decision they had to make. It was an unfortunate circumstance. You could say, well, they probably shouldn't have drafted him in the first place, and you could say that for sure. But they thought they could trust the situation and that it was going to be okay, and it turned out not to be. Now, I'm still confused, David, to the specifics of your question of how much flexibility the teams do have before the draft, because something still doesn't add up with that story about, that's still, but that's what I've been told. That was the story I was told of why they didn't sign him. So it's still a little gray area there, but obviously something, and I do wonder if Major League Baseball is a little bit more hyper about the Braves following the rules because of what happened last year But that supposedly is what I was told that happened.
Good answer, and appreciate that. My question, you know, is not as much about the Braves, is just that baseball, it just seems kind of, you know, weird that all the teams have, I guess what you said, they do have access to the players for their physicals and everything, but, you know, having to share it and all that stuff in the family, it is kind of weird that's how it works in baseball.
And I don't know the exact rules about that. That's still something that's a little muddled for me, because you would think that they would give the teams every bit of due diligence to do the individual analysis from a health standpoint, from every standpoint, to make sure that their investment's going to be worth the money. And so, but I'm not sure the exact wording of the details. I just know of the story that I was told of why that fell apart for the Braves.
Great stuff, Bill. Thank you very much. Appreciate you on Thursdays, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right.
See you, Bill.
That's Bill Shanks, 93.1 FM and 98.3 FM down in Middle Georgia in the Macon area.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.